Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mike Shope.
Like, you're going to die someday, right?
Would I like to be in the hospital right now rather than be here? Yes. Have I ever thought about that? Yes. Right now, I'm thinking about hospitalization.
And the Bulldog.
I've thought about it a few times. There's been a few times, like right now, where I feel like I'm going to have a heart attack and die. I'm here.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Like, I'm over here and I'm doing what I just did. But it goes badly. And, like, I bang the table, and then, like, I just look at you, and, like, I can't breathe, and you're on the air.
Yeah, I know. I've thought about it. I know exactly what I would do. Four
start talking about
simple words. Eye on fantasy.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Think for about 10 seconds, or about as long as we can go with, like, I don't know, somewhat the equivalent of dead air. Think about this for like 10 seconds.
Keep the music up. That way it won't be dinner.
What trait is the single best sign of character or good character? Like, what particular thing about a person best reveals that they are of good character? Just start the song over.
First thing that comes to mind is doing something that you definitely don't want to do, that you know you're not really going to enjoy, but it might even qualify as a waste of time to you, but it is going to make someone else happy, whether that's your spouse, a friend, a child, whatever, neighbor, and so you just sort of suck it up and put on a face and smile and just go with the flow.
Okay, that's good. There's lots of good ones. That's good. How about this? The person that before you even have a chance to ask them pays the bet off. I mean, that is such a mensch move. The first thing, I walk in the door, I'm like, I bet that $20 is sitting there. As soon as I see that you're here before I am today, as soon as I see you, I'm like, I bet that money's just sitting there. Yeah. I didn't even thank you. Because I'm like, yeah.
Well, it's a bet. I mean, you know.
That's right.
Yeah, I like, mean, I owed you.
Thank you for losing. What am I thinking?
Right. Thank you for being terrible. Thank you for not getting a single team through to the Sweet 16 in our pick 9 bet.
Oh, that's what happened, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Oklahoma was my last stand. I mean, not that it would have mattered.
They hung in there yesterday.
I was yesterday knowing they were playing still. I'm like, how many more games are left? They're a 9. Can I even? I had no idea what the score was, but I knew I had to be doing poorly because they were the only team I had left when I got up Sunday. I don't even think I had anybody play. Florida. I had Florida Saturday. Anyway, whatever. I knew that I was down to them. I'm like, 9-3 more. Yeah. No, I don't think I can catch up.
They kind of got blown out.
Yeah.
12 in the end, but yeah. They were not really. Yeah. This tournament, including UB, unfortunately, yesterday, like. Not too many good games. Hardly any upsets.
Yeah.
And really a lot of games. You've had a couple.
Duke UCF was fantastic.
That was good.
I hung in there. UB sort of gave you an opportunity to stay there if you wanted to. You know, the way the UB game was going, like, okay, I'm probably not going to miss too much here. As it turns out, I ended up missing, like, no field goals at all by UB while I was watching the end of UCF Duke.
Yeah, that was great. But, you had a couple games. Iowa, Tennessee was one, and the first game Saturday, LSU was one, where one team was way ahead, and then the other team caught up. And the team with the big lead ultimately won both of those games anyway, LSU and Tennessee. But, like, that's all, except for Duke, like, that's almost the best there's been.
Yeah.
There really just have not been. We had Thursday was okay, the one game Auburn that was, like, an interesting, kind of a stupid finish. But no buzzer beater or anything. Has there been one in the tournament? LSU making that shot to beat Maryland was almost a buzzer beater, like 1 second. Like that was in a tie.
Mm-hmm.
The NBA comes along, and this guy from the Hornets
right
hits a three-quarter court shot to beat Toronto by one. Like, that's the shot of the weekend.
Right.
There's no, Tate George game winner here. We've got the NBA. We have the Charlotte Hornets for the highlight of the basketball weekend there.
Yeah, and a missed putback by UCF. Like
that would have been it.
That would have been great. I mean, that would have been the highlight. And just the way that all unfolded was just, I mean, if you weren't paying attention or because you were watching UB, even though they were getting boat raced, like, they missed a free throw to tie the game and got the putback to go ahead.
Zion.
Yeah, and then, he missed the free throw. I think, who's the...
RJ Barrett.
Thank you, Barrett. I almost said Redick. Barrett had that go-ahead basket, and then, yeah, UCF had a couple of looks at it and couldn't get one to fall.
But I would say that Williamson is probably, like, all right, so do I watch the rest of it? I've won this bet. I don't have brackets. UB is out. Williamson would be like a reason to watch it now. And if he's out, okay, congratulations. Right. UCF, is it? Is that how you spell it?
You'd still have the 7-7 guy.
No, thanks. The 7-7 guy, to see him get interviewed maybe by Tracy Wolfson, who's 4'4", maybe. I don't know what she is, but yeah, that was quite a picture. All right, well, on Friday we had UB on, and it was a beatdown by them over Arizona State. It was a great day. We were in here watching it. Eventually, we carried the end of it. It just looked like this team is really great. We also talked about broilers and chicken finger subs while we watched the game. It just seems like a long time ago right now with yesterday.
It does.
Having gone so badly for them. Holy cow, just like everything did. And so it's an awful way for an amazing year to end. But here's to them. And those guys on that team and the women's team that had a lot of success there and did so well.
Yeah, and that got pretty good. That got pretty good late. I mean, I don't know how interesting getting it to single digits makes it. It's not like they were really a threat to win the game, but the women got back in the game with a couple of minutes to go and, you know, maybe put a little bit of a scare in. Enough for me to change the channel. You know, like I was watching the men's games, and I saw on Twitter that it was down to 8 or whatever. I was like, okay, I'm getting over there. And then, you know, they never got any closer. But
had the men won, the women last year, they won the two games and we had them the second week. Had the men won, I think we've got at least we got another week of what is really happening here. Like, what is changing? And, you know, we don't have that exactly. I'm not as, you know, compelled to dive into that today because of the loss. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see what, more people are going to pay attention. More people will probably commit to tickets in advance, if that's even available. I assume that you'd have a chance to buy UB season tickets.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But I would think that you could still do that. And, you know, if you want to follow it a little bit more closely, then, you know, recruits and how they're talked about, you know, preseason polls, non-conference schedule, you know, with Nate Oates back, assuming he's back, and I am, all that stuff, you know, is just going to be more interesting or more important to more people, what happens there. But for this year, that's that, 31-4. Wow, that is a great record.
32, I think.
32-4?
The game on Friday was their 32nd win, yeah.
Okay, that's even better. Yeah. I just checked.
Right.
Here are a couple records for you.
That's one more.
So you were here for this. Our boss came in, and he wanted to know. Okay, now, in other news, he wanted to know the Sabres' second half compared with last year. He wanted to know how many points, A, B, how many points last year, C, second half versus second half. So, here's that answer.
Okay.
The Sabres last year finished 25-57. For the benefit of people who use common sense in life, we combine the overtime results because they're on both sides, so why would you just single one side out to make a team look better than it really is? 25-57. Boy, that sounds really bad, doesn't it?
Yeah,
62 bad. Points yeah. last year. In the second half last year, 15-26. First half, 10-31. 5 games better. This year, first half, 22-19. Not even really that good, right?
But right.
22-19.
Right.
Good
first,
for them.
Yeah, the first half has, what, there's like a month and a half tacked on after the losing streak, or the winning streak, excuse me.
Yep.
So you're the end of November, you've got December and almost all of January before you get to the second half of the season. Is that right?
It's into January. I don't know if it's all of it.
That's right. The All-Star break is not actually at the halfway point. Go ahead.
21-19, second half so far, 9-24 for a total of 31-43 with 8 games to go. The Sabres have 9 wins since the halfway point and 24 losses. And yeah, like if you went back a little further, it would stay rough.
Yeah.
Go back up right up until the winning streak.
Right. It's
backwards.
It's 14 wins in 49 games since the end of November, since the 10th win in a row.
So to answer the boss's question and maybe your curiosity, if they win 6 of their final 8, if they win 6 of their final 8, a team that has not won 2 games in a row at all since December?
Right.
They would tie last year for their second half record.
December 11th and 13th are the dates of their last back-to-back wins.
So, in 2 weeks, it will be over. Their last game is what?
Saturday, April 6th at Detroit.
Well, that was quick.
Yeah, I got the schedule open.
That is their last game?
Yep.
Okay, so in 2 weeks, we'll be sitting here, I think. And what will we know? Or what will we have? Are we going to have a new coach or a firing by then? Are we going to have, like, would it be, will it happen at all? Will it happen right away? Will we know anything else about Jeff Skinner by then? You have 2 weeks left. Not even.
I have a hard time. Take this however you want. For a while here after the deadline, for I think a couple of weeks, I just sort of would look at the calendar, look at the schedule, and go, oh, Wednesday would be a good day for a news conference. Like, they're home. It's not a game day. Not that you couldn't do something like that on a game day, but whatever. You want to max out on positive coverage. You do it on a day where you're not playing, and, you know, whatever. And that obviously did not happen in either of those weeks that I was thinking about it, and I'm now not. And this doesn't have to mean anything, but like me personally, I'm just not expecting anything before the season's over. And if I'm not expecting anything before the season's over, like I don't know what I should be expecting before July comes at this point. I mean, I just don't know why if you're him. Of course, you can like it here very much and like the idea of being on this team very much and even be reasonably close on what sort of money it's going to take, but you're 8 games from the end, and I don't know why you wouldn't just see what's out there. I know the 8th year is a thing, and that was why, you know, how I sort of talked myself into it. Made sense. They're waiting until the trade deadline when they can offer that 8th year. And that's what the holdup is. That's why this wasn't done in January. We're waiting until the end of February for the 8th year. So you still have that advantage over all the other teams in the league. But I don't know. I mean, you're that close to finding out what you're worth on the open market. I don't know why you don't do that.
Yeah, I've been thinking that way for a long time. I would have said the same thing and probably did a month ago. Like, why wouldn't I just? What am I worried about happening between now and a month? Like, injuries is maybe the only good answer to that.
Yeah,
as long as it's not fatal, you know, injuries could matter. If it's fatal, it doesn't matter. If you have a serious injury that would seemingly affect negatively your future as an NHL player, then okay, maybe you left a lot of money on the table. That probably won't happen. And so why not always wait, right? And this goes back, and you know, I really don't want to focus on the hindsight here because there's a point at which it becomes unfair to do that. Just what was the plan the whole time? Like what they said, they traded for him in August, and consistently Jason Botterill and maybe also Skinner's people, if they were asked, but I don't remember that exactly. I just know Botterill was always, we'll get to it. And the reporting on it was always, everything's cool. They're just going to get to it, you know?
Right.
And so I can appreciate why the Sabres, like, let's say that they wanted the whole year to get Skinner signed before the season even started. You know, it will look bad if they don't get him signed after trading for him, especially with the year he had. So
yeah, and the year they've had. Yes.
Right. Like, you would maybe want to have done that the whole time, but, you know, what did they say? Well, we want to see how it goes. We want to see how he fits in. We want to see, he'll want to see how he likes it and everything like that. But this can go wrong, too, if you sign him right away. But that risk of getting him for 1 year and then losing him was always there. Now, I want to stop right now and make sure I don't sound too much like I'm assuming he won't stay. Because I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I just have really always thought, why wouldn't he just get to July at least? And if he likes it here, he can sign then. I've always thought, too, that if it's important, to whatever extent he's enjoying himself and likes life here, then why wouldn't it be easy? Why wouldn't it just get done? You know they're going to have to pay him a lot.
Right.
And the last thing I'm thinking of is, if at any point, I wonder this, and I wonder if this could still happen, where the Sabres, you know, the entire organization sizes up what might be on the line with fans this summer, let alone, like, the team, but, like, with fans. How bad is it for their business for him to walk? Now, we won't know any of that into July unless he's signed. If he's signed, then we know he's staying.
Right.
So in the spring, when people will be deciding what to do with their tickets and whatever else, then he won't have a chance to leave before then. It's just, I wonder if they'll think, well, it's already going to be tough enough for us. Is there a point at which they go, just tell us what you want?
Right, and that is no way to live. That is just no way to live at all. You know, I thought all along the parameters for this were pretty. I mean, we've been over it. You've said the same. Like, it shouldn't be hard to figure out the money. You know, unless he's so far, and this is where maybe July 1 becomes, you know, a factor in this, because the open market is the open market, and that could get very, very difficult. If the Sabres do have a certain benchmark in mind that, I don't know, some team with a crap wad of cap room wants to just pay Jeff Skinner whatever, more than Jack Eichel, then you might be challenged. You're probably not going to want to meet that. So then what? You know, and it felt to me all along like if that were the case, then the way this year has gone, then there would have been some activity. We would have heard about them wanting him to waive his no trade or something. Because if they thought he was going to come in at a number that they could not live with because of Eichel's benchmark,
right,
then something would have happened. So if it's in the ballpark, then what are we talking about? $500,000? You know, a year over the course of 8 years? I mean, I don't even know what we're arguing about. If indeed there's arguing going on. It doesn't really make sense that if there's going to be a match here, like everything I'd heard leading up to really a couple of weeks ago was, it's fine. Everything's fine. And this is not just from Botterill. It's good. He likes it, likes the team, likes the organization, likes the ownership, all of it. It's all good. It's going to get done. I don't know. Why isn't it done then? It should be done, unless there's now something else factoring in. The temptation to see what's out there on the other side of July 1, I would understand that. I mean, it's a pro athlete. He's one chance. He's getting a lifetime contract when he signs.
That should just be a matter of course, shouldn't it? Like, any framing of this that's like the player greed or anything like that, like, it should just be a matter of course. Here you are. Free agency, here you are. If I want to sign with Buffalo, I'll sign with Buffalo. You're not prohibited from doing that
right
after July 1. Oh, I really love Buffalo. I mean, no, it should just be a matter of course that you get there. And, you know, maybe that's always been their thinking. I don't know. But like you said, you want to give the Sabres some benefit of the doubt. If they read it as either too rich for our blood or he'll come back anyway, like whatever, anything like that, then that opens up the trade deadline. As far as we know, they didn't even discuss that with him, right?
If they did, it never got out.
Yeah, like he would have had to approve.
Right, that's right.
And I never heard about him like even being approached.
Right.
I don't think that was reported. So anyway, my other question is, like, if you remember, like, we talked about this early in the season. I wasn't sitting here going, you have to sign him now. Just wanted to raise that. Like, if you get into the season, why shouldn't the player go to July 1? And maybe that's what's happened. And I also had to be sort of swayed into thinking they should do it a little bit. Like, I was always asking in the beginning, like, are you sure you want to do this? 8 years, like, it's another huge financial contractual commitment for a franchise that's made a lot of them, and not all of them have gone very well. So are we sure we want to do this? And I think the answer became yes, and you had the winning streak that sort of tied into that and emotions and everything.
Yep.
How about at this point? He has one goal in his last 17 games. At this point, is that still – what's the sentiment? Like, what is on the line for them with the fans if he ends up walking?
I think that they right now are in about as bad a position as they can be in, because I think it will rain really hard on them, on Bottrell, if they don't get him signed. And unfortunately for them, the opposite of that, them signing him, I think there's relief. I think, okay, well, good. You know, he's good. We know he's good. Okay, he didn't score 50. Maybe he's going to get to 40. Like, he's limping to the finish here to try to get to 40. But he's good. But it's just the year has gone so sour that I don't think you get a lot of credit for getting it done. I think it's just like, okay, well, you needed to do that. It would have been horrific. It's maybe a little bit like not raising prices last year was, which was
keeping a player on a team like this to the fold.
Like, okay, great, you kept him. You were a crap storm with him on your team, scoring at a great rate. And okay, good. What else are you going to do for me here? What else is going to happen? Because you need a lot to change. Because this year, I mean, you've won 14 of your last 49 hockey games. Holy cow. So they're not quite damned if you do, damned if you don't. But it's not the inverse of the criticism that they will get will not be met in compliments if they get it done, I don't think at all. I think it'll just be, well, you had no choice.
Well, we'll see. It's, again, less than 2 weeks until the season's over. The Sabres play tonight in New Jersey. We'll talk to Rob Ray at 5 today. His request to move back a little bit. He's probably really enjoying New Jersey and wants to get as much free time there in as possible. We'll ask him about the move. Then tomorrow they're in Ottawa, and I believe we are broadcasting that game also. So we'll have Rob on tomorrow as well. We will talk to Sal today. Sal's all the way out in Arizona for NFL's owners' meetings, and we're talking about rules and the schedule and different things. Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean are there, and so we'll catch up with Sal today as well. Fans on Skinner and other things. 803-0550 is the number. Getting started for the week, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
This is the impression I got down there. I had said to you on last week's podcast that it might be term was the issue. Somebody said to me they heard us say it on the podcast, and they said they didn't necessarily agree that was it. What a couple of the guys there just said to me was they believe he wants to stay. It's just not easy to get there. That's all this person would tell me.
So that says it's either one of two things. It's money or term.
It's a grind.
You think it gets there?
What I was told is that the Sabres operate under the presumption that he wants to stay.
Elliot Friedman on a podcast over the weekend. I operate under presumptions of my own when it comes to the Bills and Sabres. That I think are perfectly justifiable based on life experience. And that is, do not operate under any presumptions when it comes to who wants to play for them. Either team. I don't think Jeff Skinner ever gets to, the Sabres, or anything like Antonio Brown. But I don't know. We'll just see. Just, I've never understood why he wouldn't get to July if I were he. I mean, I totally would. Why not? Why wouldn't you? 803-0550 is our number. The Sabres are in New Jersey. 8 games to go. And they are creeping toward better and better lottery odds by the day.
I know that's exciting for you.
Oh, sure.
They are 7th from the bottom. 8 games left. They're tied with the Rangers. And Anaheim is also, actually, that's 6th from the bottom, right? I'm looking at Tankathon. Anaheim has played 3 more games, so that's why I got mixed up. But you're down there. New Jersey is 4th from the bottom. Who cares? Does anybody care?
It's a big game.
If you care, you could look that up.
6 points separate the Devils and the Sabres.
Who cares?
You know, if you want them to pass the Sabres, you need them to win tonight. Devils.
Right.
Go Devils.
Why not? Why wouldn't you want that?
Sure.
I guess there's probably reasons. I have a draft, so probably I'd be able to see the game. I think I'll be watching this game while I'm drafting.
Good. I'm going to watch the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got nothing else to do. I work here, so I'm starting to hang in there.
The UB game, I had a draft yesterday that started before the UB game and then ended after it. In fact, it ended up going almost 7.5 hours.
Your draft could have taken up the 4 overtime Sabres Devils playoff game.
Yeah,
from 94, if you want.
Right,
that would have been. That was a haul.
It was a drive to Cincinnati this draft
right.
yesterday, and I was like, there was a break in the middle of it, and that was when the UB game was in the second half. Like, oh. This would be perfect right now if this game were at all interesting.
Right.
But, I mean, they were just so far back.
The only thing that was interesting was how long they would go without making a field goal, which turned out to be like 11 minutes of clock time and maybe an hour?
Almost an hour.
Of real people time.
Yeah.
Wow.
So everything went long
yesterday.
It was
harsh, yeah. Right. They made their drought. They made a 3-pointer to take their only lead, 25-24. And then they did not – that was a 3:20-something to go in the first half, and then they did not make another field goal. They had a couple free throws mixed in there, but not very many. And they went like another 8 minutes of the second half without a field goal. That was really tough.
End of the half was tough. I was loving them when they took the lead. They were getting back closer, and then they went ahead, and I was loving them right there. Like, you know, they have slow starts. They're a slow starting team when it comes to shooting, and let's see what the rest of the half is. The key for me was, and maybe this was obvious, but Texas Tech gave up 58 points a game for the year. I mean, the super low number, one of the nation's best numbers, and UB scored like 85. It was 59 versus 85 for their averages. And so the betting line had UB almost right down the middle there, like 71 or 72 points. So that was my number. If they're above a pace, if they're ahead of a 72-point pace, then this is going well for them.
Mm-hmm.
And there it was. Like, those last 3 minutes, they could have gotten, if they had had the run instead of Texas Tech, then they're right about there, then they would have probably had the lead.
Yeah.
That did not happen, and then at one point at halftime, I'm like, 25, that's the problem. 25 is a bad sign.
Yeah.
And it did not get better, really. They scored garbage time points to...
Right. Right. Yeah, they were in danger of losing by 30. They ended up losing by 20.
Too bad.
It was tough. And it started bad. I was selling to my wife and son, like, you know, hang in there, it's early. You know, they'll get a run. I told them how on Friday when I was in here, I would look down to read a couple of lines of the sports update. And both times at 4:30 and 5:30 that happened, I think they scored like 6 points or something. Like, I looked down, and when I looked back up, they're ahead by whatever. And I'm, okay, great. So it can happen fast, but never really. Aside from that little pocket there in the first half where they took that one lead, that was it. They never did that again.
Too bad. Great year. Almost everybody in the Sweet 16 is a top 4 seed. Just 2 teams are not, right? 2 fives. It's Auburn and Oregon, a 5 and a 12.
Right.
Everybody else is a 1, 2, 3, or 4. Here's Gary with us. Hello, Gary.
How are you, guys?
Really good, Gary. Thanks for calling.
As far as scare is concerned, I really see no downside for Skinner to let this thing go all the way. And if anything, I would say his agent will drive this all the way to the deadline there, simply because if Skinner pushes the market up, it's good for all the other players. Even if he resigns, it's good for all the other players, and it's good for the agents because everybody gets a bigger piece. So, and Meehan's been around a while.
Mm-hmm.
What he's doing.
Yeah, it's all pretty obvious. I mean, thanks, Gary. It just, that's what players usually do. And so you make the signing early is more the exception. For a guy in his position with UFA out there, like, that would be more the exception, especially on a loser, right? So on a winning team, it's maybe a lot easier to convince the player that this is enough for him.
Right, a winning team or, you know, in the case of, I'm thinking of Steven Stamkos, a winning team and also a place you've spent your entire career. Like your life as an adult, you go there at 18, and your life as a pro hockey player is in this one place, and that can pull pretty strongly. So, you know, in a case like this, it's only 1 year, it's closer to home, but wow, like at the very least, whether he gets to July 1 actually the date or not, I'm thinking of Stamkos as the caller's talking, like the negotiating window, at least get to that and find, you know, see what's out there, like Jeff. Hey, you know, whoever called, here's what they're prepared to do. Okay, I still want to go back to Buffalo. That doesn't necessarily have to raise the price of Buffalo, but you might want to just know what your options were if you're that close to doing it. Like, you're 8 games away.
Yeah, you know, I'd like to be able to have a real something to offer of my own about what the fan base reaction would be. I asked you this earlier. So what do you think the sentiment of the fan base is? And, like, I can't really tell you. I was asked by a guy, so I've got this ticket group, right? And we share 16 season tickets. And it's been trying. Last year was especially trying. There were a few people who left the group, a few others that said they were going to, and then after the lottery, asked back in. So it was like sort of cracking there. And a guy that's been in the group for years texted me today to ask me what I think the sentiment of the group is. Like, what are people saying about next year? And I told him, I have no idea. And you know what I think is happening? I think, I don't know why I even need to, but I qualify these points, like, about being a Sabres fan often with, I think I represent a lot of people. I just don't know that. I think I do. I think just a lot of us just don't want to talk about it. We don't want to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had one conversation in my real life about whether the Sabres, how we would react to Jeff Skinner staying or leaving. Like, I haven't had one conversation about that with, like, friends. Here, I think it's a big story,
mm-hmm.
and I think it should be a big deal. But I think there are probably a lot of fans who are like, just leave me alone. Just leave me alone.
I now that you say it, I have not either. And I, you know, you're with your ticket group. I've been around hockey fanatics all year. You know, like, I mean, we're interested in what our kids are doing, but we're hockey fans. And I can't remember the last time I talked about it away from this microphone. Even with Owen. Like, that, he's not even – like, what's going on with Jeff Skinner? And it just doesn't come up.
So what's up with that? Like, is that just the team?
Yeah, I think that's –
it's nothing negative about him, is it?
No. I certainly don't take it that way at all.
I can't imagine what that would be.
Yeah, so. No. I think it's only just we're
spent.
Yeah. Yeah. We thought it was going to be different. It looked like it was different. It was better. It was fun. Joy was back. And then it just
completely dissipated. The winning streak ended up, I think, sort of blowing up in their faces. Like, without it. It's another year, and we're talking really differently. I mean, we've said this throughout the season that might be true. You spread the games out, and, you know, it's almost the season they were supposed to have, you know, Vegas-wise. 79 points was their number. They have a decent shot at exactly that number. But the winning streak changed it, and it backfired on them, having that winning streak, I think. But really, should it? I mean, to ask that, I think, is a good question. It really shouldn't. It's still the same season. They have talked, and this is not surprising. It's the way teams almost always are. They've talked about, you know, the bright spots and all that. And my reaction to that, honestly, is usually just don't waste my time. It's just more usually just I'm so sick of hearing this kind of talk from sports teams that don't win. I just, not to say I don't want to fight you on it. I just, I not, I don't even really usually think that you're necessarily wrong. It's just I just don't want to listen to it. So we'll see. I don't know. I just think, why wouldn't he wait?
Yeah. I mentioned you asked me when's the last game. So I gave away that I have the schedule open here on my desktop. And there's all kinds of different ways. Today, our boss came in and asked about the second half point. So you parse that out. And I've got the 13 out of their last, did I say 49 games, 45 games?
You said 14 out of 49.
14 out of 49. Right. They won 3 of their last 18.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just a bunch of like losing streaks in there with like a win sprinkled in there.
It's one regulation win, Washington.
Wow. Yeah.
They had an overtime win over Pittsburgh and the shootout win over the Blues. Of course, regulation wins are an important thing to differentiate because that means you're really winning games, not with 3-on-3 or shootout tiebreakers. You know, that's really winning games. The Washington game was a good day for them.
Yeah.
It's really the only one in, what is it?
Middle of February. February 15th, they lost to the Rangers 6-2.
I was at that game.
And since then, they have won 3 hockey games, 1 in regulation, like you say.
Yeah, and after that Ranger game in which Skinner scored both of their goals, he has 1 goal. Right. Carolina. Right. 1-17. Sal Capaccio from the owners' meetings. We know a little bit about the NFL schedule from today. We'll set the week up. What are we going to get this week? Rules, schedule, other news. The Bills did sign a player who was really nice for them a couple of years ago. So that's something, too, we'll discuss with Sal in about 15 minutes. Mike Schoppe and the Bulldog here at 803-0550 on WGR.
We gave up way too much, and we've been doing that as of late, letting our goalies out to dry. So we got to be better in that regard. You know, we can't be cheating for offense. We just have to play a strong, structured game and understand that that's going to allow us to win the most hockey games.
Josh Georges? Evan Rodriguez.
No.
I really don't know.
I don't know. I will say Bogosian.
It is Marco Scandella.
Scandella. It's okay. One or the other.
You know what's funny about that? That was born out of, hey, they're going to be good. We should learn how to, or what these guys sound like.
Yeah, yeah,
and
right,
now they're
right.
Not good.
It's a sign of
maybe we shouldn't be doing
how
it
dialed into the team you are. You pay right. attention to every sound clip and like this, you know who everyone is. Yeah, I've completely lost the plot there.
Right.
Just completely lost it.
Yep. Okay. Sal coming up at 4. We have Rob Ray at 5 today. Pregame at 6 for Sabres Devils. The opening night of the NFL season, the 100th season of the NFL, will be Green Bay at Chicago. This has been the rumor. It's a milestone year, so they are departing from the tradition of having the Super Bowl winner host that first game, for this year at least, right. Green Bay at Chicago.
100th season.
Rematch of last year's Sunday night opener
right.
that was played in Green Bay. It was a really good game. So New England, it was also announced New England will host the Sunday night game, week one. And as we've talked about here and there, it's a good little choice as to who they should play in that game based on their home opponents this year, the Patriots. Bills, Dolphins, and Jets, of course. The others, Dallas and the Giants from the NFC. Kansas City, the West winner. And Cleveland and Pittsburgh, the AFC East and AFC North mm-hmm. lineup this year. So Buffalo, Miami, the Jets. I like the Jets the most of those with Le'Veon Bell there, but I don't like any of them that much.
No, there's no way it's going to be any of those three. It's not going to be the Giants. I'm tempted to rule the Steelers out. They missed the playoffs. I think the Browns the Browns and Chiefs. The Chiefs more so than the Browns, outrank the Steelers right now. The question is, do you want to put that good a game in that spot? And then there's the Cowboys. The Cowboys always rate.
I'd put the Cowboys in the middle. Maybe that's a night game too, Dallas at New England. But I agree, it's the Browns or the Chiefs. And I might put the Jets above the Giants and Steelers, but still third at best. Cleveland and Kansas City. Who would you rather it be, Cleveland or Kansas City? Cleveland has Odell Beckham on its team.
Yes, I heard about that.
If you have Kansas City, you have to talk about Tyreek Hill one way or another.
Yeah, that's right. I wonder if they feel like it's just too early to – does it equate to coronating the Browns? Like we opening weekend, Sunday night, you know, they get the rings or the banner or whatever the hell and crazy train and all the junk that the Patriots will do to celebrate another Super Bowl. The Browns in that spot, it seems like a little too fast. So I would bet on the Chiefs.
I guess if you have the Browns, you're talking about Kareem Hunt. I don't know if that would even be a reason, but yeah, I guess either one of those would work. I might guess it's Kansas City, but I think the Browns would be a really fun choice. Sal likes this kind of stuff. He is in Arizona for the owners' meetings, talk schedule, rules, and the Bills bringing back E.J. Gaines, who was very good for them two seasons ago. That's next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.